Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, Developing Internal Relationships, the When and How, Part 1. Here we go. In our first Developing Internal Relationships cast, we talked about identifying folks' current network, right? And then judging how effective it was.
We had a
method for really kind of walking through that and identifying people that you needed to meet in order to round out your network.
Yeah, because when we have conversations with people, I would say, well, tell me your network. And they would list the 10 people that sat within 50 feet of them.
Right,
and you're
exactly.
Like, no, dude, no. Right? Yeah.
Well, here's a problem I think folks, you know, some folks have had, and they've asked us, right? If I haven't come across those people yet, how am I going to meet them? Right? Okay, I know I need to meet them. Or there's this class of people I need to meet. How do I go about doing that?
Yeah.
And for you, it's obvious, but for folks like me, it's not so obvious.
Well, okay, but you know, and I'm going to say something here that I'm sure people have heard several times. I'm sure in Manager Tools Cast as well, I've been saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it for a long time because I stumbled across a phrase that I think is helpful. And that is, if you're a manager now, or if you're an individual contributor, and you think about yourself as a manager or certainly as an executive someday, when you look up at executives, what you call politics, they call collaboration. Role power plays much less of an issue at the top of your organization, folks. CEOs just don't trump VPs out of hand. CEOs allow VPs to do stuff they don't even agree with because they want the VP to run their business. It's not unusual for a CEO to say, that's not the way I would do it, but it's your business. Go ahead. And if it turns out great, lucky you. And if it doesn't, you'll hear about it. And so there's a lot of log rolling. There's a lot of discussion. There's a lot of relationship building at the top. If you're not good at building relationships, you're not going to survive as an executive. I'm sure I said in this previous cast about this, that you can't, if you're the VP of sales, you can't sell a product that the VP of manufacturing won't make. And you don't just get to go to the CEO and say, you should have him make it. I mean, you've got to have a relationship so that if it's close, the trust you built up with that person will allow him or her to say, yeah, I want to do this. I'm on board. You know, you pre-wired me and I see the value of this product in the marketplace and so on. And the problem, I think, Mike, is that too many people have this sense of, I'm just going to get ahead because I have great results and it doesn't, you know, I'm just going to be smart. But the problem is the higher up you go, the more relationships matter in terms of your ability to achieve results. And people just don't have their networks. And we, of course, we saw it, right? When the downturn hit several years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, we did a Career Tools special conference for people who were struggling in Manhattan, right? Who needed help with their job search because they'd gotten laid off in the bloodbath of 2008, I think it was. And everybody wants to have a network, but nobody's willing to work on it when the sun's shining. And then they decry not having it when things are bad. And you've got to know what the network ought to look like. And that's what the Where cast was in developing internal relationships. And then this cast is about, okay, let's talk about all those times when you can add to the list. And people think that it's schmoozing. That's the problem. People think you have to go schmooze, right? You have to go network. You have to go talk to people. You have to be Mr. Salesy or Ms. Salesy. It's just wrong.
Right. And those people who are not inclined towards value relationships, right? The for those who know DISC, right? For the high D's, the high C's of the world. That's what they see it as. They see it as schmoozing. And it's a distinctly distasteful
and they don't do
characterization.
It. Right. Yeah. And I respect their characterization of it because there are times when I go to those things and people think I'm a high I, so therefore I would like them. And I just say, no, this is not how you build relationships. The way you build relationships is meeting people and introducing yourself and not at a function that was designed for you to exchange business cards. And the problem with the anti-schmoozing is folks say, no, I don't want to do that. And then they wonder why they don't have the network that they need. And then what they do is they say, oh, that guy just got ahead because he knows people. Well, yes.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And then they say, oh, I don't want to be a sales guy. Well, you don't have to be. You have to be a good person and you have to know how to introduce yourself and how to stay in touch with people. It's that simple. Yeah. So this cast is about ideas for how and when to start those kind of relationships.
Good. So what are we going to talk about?
So look, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to beat a dead horse. But as I've said before, many, many times, the things that go without saying sometimes need to be said. And we're going to talk about just introducing yourself. That's the first point. It happens to me all the time. People come to me at conferences and say, hi, Mark, pleasure to meet you. And I say, I'm Mark Horseman. and we're talking. I said, and you are? Oh, yeah, I'm Bob. Okay. So you got to learn to introduce yourself. And then we're going to talk about the wins. There are all kinds of places. I see people see it happen all the time, right? Before meetings and traveling and all kinds of stuff. So we'll walk through various wins, W-H-E-N, in other words, times when you can add to the list of people that you're going to stay in touch with. And then lastly, we'll talk about making some time on your calendar for relationships.
Excellent. Okay. So the first point, just introduce yourself. Are you suggesting that it's as easy as simply sticking out your hand, looking somebody in the eye and saying, hi, I'm Mike. Nice to meet you.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I'd say, hi, I'm Mark, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. Then that's a lot harder.
Obviously. Yeah. Well, who was it? Somebody just sent us an email recently and said, I'm going to meet Mike at the conference. I'm like, geez, I just had dinner with this guy. He's telling me he's going to meet Mike and he's not. Mike's not going to be there. Yeah, it is. And I know that for some of you, that's really difficult. You're uncomfortable with it. And we respect that you're uncomfortable, but we're not here to make you comfortable, okay? And we can't help with the emotional issue you have with, I don't like talking to people. Let me be clear. We talk about behaviors and results at Manager Tools and Career Tools. If you don't engage in this behavior because you're uncomfortable, don't come crying to us about what you don't get because you didn't do it.
Let me ask you though, because I think you said, some people just don't like doing it, right? They're not comfortable doing it. But I don't think that's what they say though. What they say is, it's not that I don't want to. It's just I'm afraid of what the other person's reaction is going to be like. They may not want to meet me. Yeah. They'll think I'm being too forward. They think I'm sucking up, right?
Okay, fair. Sure, fair. But let me ask you something, though, Mike. Let's do the thing we've done before. I know it probably feels like kabuki theater to some people. But are you saying that you're buying into the listener who comes up to us? You know, I just got back from a conference, right? When people came up and asked questions, and we had a great time. But are you saying that when somebody comes up and says, Mark, it's not that I don't want to, it's that I fear them thinking I'm being too forward or I'm sucking up, and so therefore I don't? Do you believe that statement?
Okay. No, I don't. No,
okay, good. Okay. Statement. All right, good. Okay, good. So you're just repeating.
I'm just trying to be kind to some folks. Right. Pushing back a little bit. And in their head, they're playing the story that I just described. So I'm just trying to be kind.
We respect how you're feeling. We do. The issue is we're not talking about feelings. We're talking about behavior. And when you say, it's not that I don't want to meet somebody, it's that I'm uncomfortable with what might happen. Look, let's go back to human behavior 101. You're an adult. You're in a free society for the most of us. Those of you who aren't in a completely free society, I look forward to the day when you can tell us that I live in a 100% free democratic capitalistic country. It's coming. It's maybe 500 years or 1,000 years from now, but it's coming. There are people who are listening to us today who are listening to us in repressive dictatorships, and we hope that democracy and capitalism comes to you soon. That said, if you're an adult and you're free, when you say, it's not that I don't want to, but I'm fearful of this or I don't want this outcome, free adults always do what they want to do. It's like the saying, people say, I'd rather be playing golf. No, you wouldn't. If, in fact, you'd rather be playing golf, if that was true, you would go play golf. The issue is the consequences. You're afraid of the consequences, and you've made a conscious choice. And I will tell you this over and over and over again. We want to help people engage in this behavior. We'll talk about the behavior and so on. But if you tell yourself, as you listen to us, that behavior sounds pretty simple, but I'm still fearful, I don't want to be absolved of blame. We want to help you. And if somebody wants to write me and say, here's how you could help me better, great, I'll listen. But the fact is, don't say that you want to and then tell me that you don't. Because wanting is proved by the behavior after the fact. It always is. You do what you want to do. If you're at work and you're saying, I'd rather be playing golf, yeah, you're wistfully saying it would be fun to be at golf right now, but you're making a choice to be at work. When you choose not to stick out your hand, you're making a choice. You didn't want to stick out your hand. And I think that's a big thing. I think there are people who want me and you to justify it's okay because that's not naturally your style. Look, it's not naturally my style to look at spreadsheets. I don't ever really want to, but I do. It's not naturally my style at Manager Tools, for instance, to go over every week, every single expense that the company has. But I do. I want to tell Mike, I trust you. You do it. But I don't. We go over it every single week. It's not naturally my style to be down in a conference room at 6 in the morning in order to be ready for 8 o'clock. I'd rather be able to sleep in at 7:30, but I don't. I go down there. I'd love to get to sleep. it's not naturally my style to write a podcast on a flight home. I admit the Red Sox game interrupted it when I could be relaxing after killing myself, but I do it because I want the outcomes associated with that. And I think that's important. I think too many people say, that's not me. But folks, this is professional behavior 101. The ability to introduce yourself, etiquette and common social relationship skills are part and parcel of being a professional. Being a professional is not just being smart. It's not just being knowledgeable about your technology. It is not enough to be a really smart geek. It's not enough to be a great salesman or to really be knowledgeable about manufacturing processes. That is not enough. And it's definitely not enough to get you to an executive level. And how many stories do we know of somebody who's really smart technically or really smart in a particular industry who can't manage and wonders why they can't get ahead? And it's because they say, I drilled down and I have all this knowledge in a particular area. But the fact is, I really don't like people or I don't want to spend time with people. And then they wonder why they don't do well as a manager. So this cast is not about helping you get over any phobias or foibles you might have regarding introducing yourself. If you find yourself in a room week after week after week after week with people to introduce yourself to and you're not introducing yourself, at least please admit, say out loud to the mirror or send me a note and say, Mark, I admit it. There were people I could have met and I didn't want to. Because if you didn't meet them, you didn't want to. I know it's fear-inducing, but that's how you get better at something, as we say at conferences. You're going to be a little bit uncomfortable today as we asked you to engage in one-on-ones and feedback, or when it comes to the ECC, to the teaching the idea of observe, analyze, and tailor other people, the ability to change your behavior, to become more strident, if in fact, not 50% more strident, but 20% more strident in order to interact with a high D who's going to be a little bit forceful with you, you're going to be uncomfortable. When you're learning, you're uncomfortable. And if you're not doing this now, it's going to be uncomfortable doing it. Now, I certainly would respect somebody who says, I'd like to be able to go to class to learn how to do it. Okay. And then you can practice with your friends. But frankly, you could do that with your spouse or you could do that with other people. If you come to one of our conferences and you need help meeting people, I will stand at the back of the room at the end of the day and practice you having you introduce yourself to me 20 times if that will be helpful to you. I just worry, Mike, that too many people want to say, well, I want to in principle, but I just don't do it because of this, 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 and this. No, if you don't do it, then you don't want to. And if you don't want to, that's okay. But there are consequences for that. So that said, this isn't high school. The days when the cool people in the room could cut you, as they would say in the American South, meaning look away from you, right, and get away with it, are gone, right? I mean, think about what you do. If someone in the cafeteria line behind you said, I don't think we've met. I'm Mike. I work over there in production. How many of you listening right now would ignore him, would look right at the person and be so dismissive of another human being that you would literally go, why are you talking to me? And frankly, if you're that person, send me an email as well. And I will tell you, I'm going to keep track of you because you ought not to have responsibility for other people.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do it.
My feelings. I'm crushed.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. You know, in fact, actually, I would say there would be a small percentage who would get their feelings hurt. There would be the vast majority, though, 80 plus 90% of the people would look, they would not get their feelings hurt, and they would know who you were, and they would mark you for the rest of the time you're at the company. And it would have nothing to do with them. Their feelings would be, you are a jerk, and actually, obviously, much worse than that. Look, of course you wouldn't do that. Of course you wouldn't cut somebody that way. You'd be polite, okay? You'd probably say something polite. Now, yes, if there was a much more senior person, you might say to yourself, oh, yeah, they're just going to shake my hand and go, yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, well, if you were two levels up and somebody came up and shook your hand and you can't picture yourself shaking somebody's hand, not even looking at them and go, yeah, whatever, then far be it from you to be able to say, I'm going to project really bad behavior on top of a senior executive whom I know if I were there, and I know I wouldn't do that if I were in that role. Gosh, you're just making up a straw man to attack and say all executives are terrible, but I'll be the one executive who's not that way. The vast majority of the time, I'm in a room at a client and they don't know whether I work at the company or not. And I walk up to people and I introduce myself and they're quite pleasant. They're quite polite. And so we know what you would do, folks. Gosh, if you're listening to Career Tools, if you're listening to Manager Tools, you know, you'd say something polite. Even if you thought it was a bit odd, right, that somebody would introduce themselves in the cafeteria. But folks, that's how you do it. You simply recognize that when you're around other people, you need to add to your repertoire of skills the willingness to step up, stick out your hand and say, hi, I'm Mark. Okay. It is not odd to introduce yourself in the cafeteria. And I think I've said this story before, and since this is a Career Tools cast, of course, Wendy wrote it. But the story that I love to tell is the story about Caltech, where my brother Walt almost went to school and I wasn't smart enough to get in, where I think there are like 20 Nobel Prize winners at Caltech, California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, California, near where I grew up. And if you're a professor in physics and you walk up to one of the tables at lunchtime, round tables where professors sit at lunch in the faculty cafeteria, and there's somebody from the physics department already at that table, you can't sit there. You have to sit next to somebody at a different table from a different department. And they do that in order to get cross-pollination of ideas and so on. If professors can do it, if Nobel Prize possible professors, and that's all they have at Caltech, if they can do it, we can do it.
Yeah. And my guess is like if somebody stuck out their hand and said hello to you and said their name was Mike, I mean, probably really smart, friendly guy named Mike. If you passed me in the hallway like later that week, you'd probably remember my name and you'd probably say, right. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Right.
And that's how the relationship starts. That's
how it starts.
That's
that it. Yeah. And look, even if he turns around and says, hey, I'm Mike. Nice to meet you. Oh, okay, great. And then you see him later and says, hey, how's it going, Mike? And he goes, oh, hey. And then for some reason, you're standing in line at the elevator and says, where do you work? I work over in operations. Oh, yeah, I'm in sales. Oh, really? Are you on that big new project? Yeah, actually, I kind of am. I just got assigned to it. He says, do you know the guy who's running it? Because we're not getting answers. Oh, yeah, well, I do. Actually, he's a pretty good guy, Dave. This guy, Dave Bryan, is a good friend of mine. He's running it. He says, will you ping him and see if he could maybe answer this question? Because we don't know what to do. Really? Really? He's not being responsive? Well, we're not hearing from him. I'll ask him. And then you go ask Dave, and Dave says, I didn't know they were trying to get in touch with me. Here's the email. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll send him a note. And Mike gets a note back saying, yeah, this guy, Horseman, says you were looking for it. I'm sorry, it got lost in the shuffle, right? And now suddenly, I hate to say it, some of the people who are listening are going to hate this. Now Mike owes me a favor. I mean, that's what it boils down to, right? And that's how relationships start. You introduce yourself, and then you begin to exchange. You exchange the currency of relationships, which is asking for favors or talking about how things are doing. And you don't have to have an idea, folks, that in 3 months you should know their kids' names. It's not a metrics race. It is not about shooting a target at 1,000 yards with one bullet. It is saying, I'm going to pick up a handful of rocks and I'm going to throw all of them and I'm going to hit some targets. And then I'm going to stay in touch with those targets. The single biggest change on a number line is not going from 1 to 2, which is doubling, of course, which is bigger than going from 2 to 3. The big change is going from 0 to 1. And if you have 1,000 moments of going from 0 to 1 and you start the ball rolling, you're going to have a lot of them end up being at 10 or 20 or 50. And I think there are so many people who have built into themselves the idea that going to 1 is so terrible when, in fact, when they do it 20 times. And that's, by the way, that's how people teach social skills. When you go to social etiquette classes, they have you practice over and over again with everybody in the room. Hi, I'm Mark. It's nice to meet you. How are you? And they teach you 4 or 5 questions that you ask every single time. And then they just make you practice until you're bored to death with it. Just like at the conferences when we teach the feedback model. I say, I'm going to start a sentence and let's see if you can finish it. Now, this only works for American folks, but I say, I pledge allegiance. And of course, everybody in the room virtually says to the flag because they've done it over and over and over and over again. They don't even know what it means, frankly. Because they've practiced it. I know so many engineers, so many technicians, so many accountants, so many lawyers who says, yeah, that wasn't me years ago, but I did it 20 times. I got used to it. And now I just stick out my hand and say, hi, I'm Mark.
Yeah, you got a new effective habit. So just make it a habit. Start doing it. Okay, enough of that. The next point is my favorite of the entire cast, because this to me is where the real juice is. This is where the treasure is, right?
Okay. Now, see, that's interesting because I would have said the earlier one about just, come on, guys, just get off the dime and start doing it.
Okay. It's important. The first one's important. It's very easy. But this next one to me is really the key because the idea is win.
Yeah. Okay.
We have 8 times when you can do this, when you can really start building new relationships.
And I promise you, I'll give you more than the 8.
Yeah. To your list of things to do at these specific times, you just won't be able to help it. You will develop a ton of new relationships and it won't even seem like work.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you have 8 of them. Let's go through those.
I got 50 actually.
We're going to talk about 8.
I might give you 8. Yeah. Yeah. Look, first one is pre and post meeting availability. I'm amazed. Remember our first cast, Mike? Solution to a stalled technical career. Remember? We got the email from a friend saying, I feel like I'm stalled out. I'm like, okay, you get, look, you walk into a meeting with a bunch of marketing. You're a technical person. You walk into a meeting with a bunch of marketing people and you go and sit with all the technical people. Yeah, I don't know any of those people. Well, how do you think you get to know technical people?
You just go in the corner, flip open your laptop.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. And not stare at anybody. Not look at anybody. Don't dare look at anybody in marketing's eyes.
And do you know, I'm sure this is a selfish bias on my part, dude, and I'm willing to cop to being wrong about it. But I got to tell you, when a technical person opens their laptop, they look different sitting in front of their laptop than the marketing people or their operations people. They just do. They become one with the machine. They become amorphous with it. Whereas a marketing guy, he'll look up at everybody who comes into the room, right? But the tech guy, not so much. And you, there's a vibe that happens when the laptop comes open, the email starts getting answered, the mail starts getting answered, that the vibe is, don't talk to me. Oh, no, don't talk to me.
It's a Borg moment, okay? Just
the Borg. There you go. You will be assimilated by the laptop.
There you go.
By the email. Yeah. So look, give yourself 10 or 15 minutes before and after each meeting to talk to the people in those meetings. Now, you don't do this for your weekly staff meeting, but for your boss's staff meeting, you do. If you don't talk to your peers or other people in the meeting, look, your boss is admin. If your boss is an admin, if you only are exchanging emails with him or her, why not go up to her and say, hi, Jenny, how are you? There's going to be a funny look on her face and it's going to make you feel awkward. And you say, hey, I hope you're having a good week. And then you might have to say, and oh, by the way, I'm Mark. And then she'll say, oh, I know who you are. Well, just wanted to say hi. I feel like I don't say hi often enough. I appreciate the stuff you do for me. Thank you. That's huge. It's not rocket science, but it's really, really huge. Any project meeting you go to? Okay, now some people are saying, Mark, I'm really, really busy. I can't do it. I'm too busy. Part of the reason you know I'm busy, Mark, is because I'm always late. Trust me, folks. You don't want to tell Mark Horseman too many times that you're busy, that your lateness proves your busyness. Because I know people who get paid 10 times what you get paid, who are way busier than you, who are on time to everything. And not many of you miss flights routinely. There are some people who do, but usually they're flights that are scheduled every hour, like the shuttle between Washington and New York. And they know there's another one coming along and they have status and they're going to get put on that next plane anyway. And the fact is, you don't miss flights because flights start on time. You think you can get away with meetings and you think it's important somehow socially or in terms of the unofficial rules of the corporation is I don't want to be there early because that proves I don't have anything to do. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. What it proves is you're on top of your game. And when people come in, when you're a little early, they say, well, what are you doing early? Actually, I had a schedule today and I just thought I'd be early. And then when somebody comes
nobody
in, you don't know, you introduce yourself.
Nobody says that. Yeah, people make up their minds that somebody's going to say that. People don't say
that. It's funny. Yeah, they do. They really do. I do. I mean, I'll go to a meeting early and I'll sit there and they'll say, who are you? So I'm Mark Horseman. Nice to meet you. Who are you? And there, we've started.
Oh, no. I'm saying nobody goes to meetings and says, like, well, why are you early? And it's you're early, and therefore, because you're early, you have nothing better to do.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was being facetious. Yeah, right. Yeah. But people assume, oh, gosh, I wouldn't want them to think that I don't have anything to do. I got to tell you, I probably should have said this a long time ago. People invent things in other people's heads to justify their own lack of desire to change their own behavior, because changing behavior is hard, right? Oh, well, he's thinking this, so therefore, I don't want to do that, even though I know that thing that I want to do is in fact valuable. Yeah. Look, you can do this on conference calls. Join the call a couple of minutes early. I know you're busy, but be on the conference call and be working, be doing email while you're on the conference call. When somebody dings in and says, who's there? And say, oh, it's Jenny. Say, hi, Jenny. This is Mark Horseman. Where do you work? Oh, I work over in operations. Oh, hey, I'm in sales operations, actually. And then she'll, you know what she'll say? Oh, do you know Robert? Oh, yeah, I know Robert. He sits right over here. Yeah, tell Robert he's late. He's late with this thing he owes me. Okay. And I'll yell at Robert. Dude, Jenny says you're late with the thing. Yeah, tell her blah, blah, blah. And now suddenly, you're schmoozing like you're a regular.
Yeah,
this
your
is schmoozing,
right,
by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Join the call a few minutes early. There's time for chit-chat. I do it. I'm typically a couple minutes early for our calls on the Manager Jules Bridge we have. We recommend you go to meetings a couple minutes early. If you're normally used to showing up 10 minutes late because you think you can get away with it, be there on time. And when people come in, stand up and introduce yourself. Hey, I'm Mark. Hey, I'm Mike. Okay. Same thing after the meeting. When the meeting's over, I know you have another meeting to go to. Although, to say the truth, Mike, I looked at some calendars that I was sent several months ago. Some people, they don't have as many back-to-back meetings as they say they do. They really don't. And frankly, if you're running a meeting, finish it on time and give people 5 minutes to get to the next meeting, even if it means they'll technically be late, but still they'll be 5 minutes early to a meeting and starts 10 minutes late. And hang around after the meeting and say, hey, as you walk out, can I walk with you? Say, we haven't met before. Folks, practice that right now, saying, we haven't met before.
This is so flippin' easy to do. You got to be at the meeting anyways. Just take 5 minutes before, five minutes after, and get just double the amount of value you're going to get out of that meeting.
Right.
It's really simple.
Yeah. And again, you don't have to go schmoozing. You don't have to go to a networking function. You don't have to go hold a bottle of wine, a glass of wine that you don't want to drink. You don't need to do that. You don't need to go somewhere else to do this. If you're in sales and you walk over to see somebody in operations, when you get close to their desk, stop at somebody's desk. And if you need directions, say, hi, my name is Mark Horseman. I'm in sales. And you stick out your hand and they say, oh, hi. And I say, who are you? And they say, oh, I'm Robert. Oh, nice to meet you, Robert. Do you know where Jack Dempsey sits? Oh, sure. He's right around the corner. I said, okay, right around this corner? He says, yeah, right around that corner. Oh, okay. Great. Thanks a lot. Nice meeting you, Robert. And now next time I walk by his cube and I say, hey, Robert, how's it going? And the guy looks at me kind of funny. He's forgotten my name by now, right? But I remember his name because I was, in fact, probably the reason I remembered is I was nervous about doing it. And now I know Robert and I know Jack as well.
Yeah, piece of cake. Okay, how about our next kind of treasure time here is in travel margins. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, when you have to travel, why not fly in the night before? And look, for those of you who travel 200 days a year, like I do, we're not suggesting you take another night away from your family, but most people don't travel that much, okay? So if you're traveling and you only travel a day or two a month, see if it's possible to fly in the night before or leave on a later flight to give you some time to meet people in your company and spend some time that's less structured with them. And by gosh, don't fly into corporate and be booked. Unless some of the meetings are designed for you to get to know people better, don't be booked from 7 a.m. until midnight and then walk out and walk by 200 people whom you might know who might be valuable to you. I mean, every executive I know who's worth his or her salt spends some time. They go in and then they're scheduled breakfast with somebody, or they attend somebody else's morning meeting, or they have coffee with somebody and then they leave themselves 2 hours for lunch and they make sure they take the person, one of the people on the project team that they're on, they go to lunch with. Hey, listen, I don't know where, you know, I'm in New York City, but I live in Chicago. Can somebody tell me a great place to go to lunch? Now, look, if you say, anybody know a good place to go to lunch, and nobody in the group says, oh yeah, come with me. Okay, fine. When they say, well, you go to the deli down the corner. Okay, cool. You want to go with me? And look, if you ask 3 or 4 people and they all snub you, okay. But you've just been snubbed. The worst thing that's happened that could happen to you happened. You didn't get to have lunch with anybody. And it's only 20 minutes or 30 minutes lunch. It's not like you're going to be stuck not knowing what to talk about for 2 damn hours, right? You've just been snubbed. And you'll look down and realize that you're okay. It's not the end of the world. And frankly, if you rank with them or if you outrank them and you say, anybody want to go to lunch? Somebody's going to say yes. Please, someone who does this, who flies in a little early and arranges time and has some time to do lunch and asks and everyone says no to you, send me an email saying, everybody said no to me. I want to hear about it. And I promise you, Mike, a year from now, nobody will have said it.
Yeah. Right guard will help. Just saying.
Yeah. You know, we found that when you have telephone relationships with people, you tend to focus more on the work. And those water cooler conversations, which happens when you're around one another, get missed. And so the relationship is not as strong. Okay. So from that perspective, you can develop a relationship on the phone, but if you have an opportunity to have dinner with somebody or to have a drink before you go back to your hotel, or say, hey, listen, you know, if there's 4 of you guys staying at the same hotel for a big project, hey, you guys want to have dinner together? Now you might think, oh, they're going to think I'm a creep. But frankly, again, you're putting words into their head that may not be true. And frankly, they're probably like the rest of us who travel. They don't want to eat alone either. And if they all say they want to have room service, fine. But don't let everybody have room service when, in fact, you could have asked. If, in fact, you know everybody's going to have their own room service, what is the difference between everybody having room service alone without any questions or whether everybody having room service after you ask, anybody want to have dinner with me? Right? I mean, what's the difference? The only difference is you get snubbed by 3 people who apparently aren't very smart anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, we're inventing things in other people's heads to justify our own fears about, well, I'm not a salesperson, I'm not a marketing person. Trust me, folks, you may think I'm a friendly person. I shouldn't say things like that. Some people probably think I'm some other kind of person. But Mike and I are both engineers. We both went to West Point. We're both not naturally outgoing people persons, even though I have a lot of high I in me now. I didn't 25 years ago. Okay, so we're not schmoozers, but we know we have to introduce ourselves to one another. Now, regarding travel, we know that some corporate travel policies are restrictive. You may not be allowed to stay an extra night. Okay, fine. We're also willing to bet, though, that if it was a friend you wanted to meet, you'd work out a way to do it, whether it was springing for an extra night yourself or using your loyalty points. And this is a case where making a little investment in your career rather than in a friendship might be worthwhile. And frankly, you could easily say, I've got to get to my plane by 6. I don't know. The number of people who says, well, I got to stay in the meeting to the last minute and then I got to rush to the airport. No, stay in the meeting until 4 o'clock. Tell them I've got to get to the airport in time, so I need to leave at 4. And then you're unstructured from 4 until 5:30 before you absolutely have to leave. And then you walk over and you introduce yourself to somebody in operations that you've been on 20 conference calls with, but you've never met them face to face. And then you look up and go, oh, I recognize your voice now. Yeah. What are you guys working on over here? And it's 5 minutes. And again, maybe you get snubbed, but having been snubbed 10,000 times in my life, folks, it's not that big a deal. You'll be okay.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for part one. We'll finish this one up next time. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.